Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. Welcome my co-host today, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. So, Catherine, we noticed, you know, we have a few people that listen to us on a pretty regular basis.
Yay!
And we're very excited for them, and we love that, and we love to be able to see that. But if you are enjoying our show, please don't hesitate to recommend it to your friends and family. And, you know, you could just pop off an email with the link in it. That would be a really easy way to direct them to us. But you have some other ways to also come to us and connect with us, right?
Right. We post all of our shows on Facebook. You can search Dunamos Center Ministries, and they'll come right up. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. We tweet over there once in a while.
Yeah, we'll get better.
Yeah. Our website is DunamosCenter.com. And also, if you enjoy what you're hearing, or if you have a comment for us or would like us to change something, we would love to hear that feedback from you. Excuse me. So the email address where you can reach us is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com.
You know, they can also share the links on Facebook. You know, if you go to the Dunamos Center Ministries page, we will always have the show links there.
Yes.
We'll have the upcoming links. We will have the recording links after we finish the show. So then you just share that on your page and people will be able to find it really easily.
Yep. Go for it.
Go for it. Yes. We're very excited. So, today, we've got a topic that's going to bleed into two or three shows in some ways, but we want to talk a little bit about how marriage in our culture has really changed, and I'm talking about between a man and a woman, and from the biblical foundations of how marriage should be, and then sort of what we actually see in our culture today.
Right. And what's a better reflection of our culture these days than television?
Yes. And so, you know, our show has that aspect and that title that, you know, how did we get from Leave It to Beaver to Everybody Loves Raymond?
Right.
So let's kind of just refresh a little bit about what Leave It to Beaver was about and why that's such a contrast to some of the shows we see today.
And so that was a little bit before my time. Can you remind us, like, years that...
I don't even know the years. Okay, it's actually almost a little bit before my time, too. But Sharon, our producer here, she might know when it was running. So, Sharon, you got any input on that?
No, I just remember it running.
Okay. Now, I remember seeing a few shows when I was a child, and then, you know, which was in the 1960s.
Okay.
So, you know, it bled over from the 50s into the 60s a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, Leave It to Beaver was, you know, a husband and wife who had two kids. They had two sons. And, you know, Beaver was the nickname for the youngest son. So, and he was kind of the little mischievous one who got into a little bit of trouble now and then. And, you know, he was the one who, you know, had to have a talking to quite frequently. But, you know, at the same time, he was still very respectful of his parents, even in that context.
Sure.
So, and his older brother was, you know, the perfect athlete, the perfect scholar.
Wally,
the perfect, you know, and then they had the schmoozy neighbor friend of Wally's. You know, I mean, it had sort of your stereotypical characters.
Right.
But one of the things that we want to focus on is the nature of the marriage relationship that was portrayed between Ward and June Cleaver.
Right.
And Ward Cleaver went to work every day, and he made money, and he supported his family. And June was a housewife. And she would have been very proud to say she was a housewife.
Right.
But what was interesting is that she liked what she did. And Sharon wants to, you know, pipe in here.
Well, it first aired in October of 1957.
Okay.
And it ended in June of 1963. So
I saw reruns. I'll just say that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, I saw it in reruns on, like, Saturday or something.
And Sharon doesn't want to say when she saw it.
So she saw it live. We'll say it for her. So, but the thing is that even though June Cleaver was a housewife, Her husband was extremely respectful of her as well. She was respectful of him, and he was respectful of her.
Right. So there was a real characteristic between the two of mutual respect for the roles that they played
right
in their marriage at that time.
And he reflected that she ran the household, and she knew more about what was going on with the kids than he did because she was home with them. And if she approached him with, you know, we have an issue with one of the kids, he was like immediately took it up. He did not, you know, go, well, you know, let's just see if it's going to work out. Oh, I don't want to have to deal with that tonight. You know, he just immediately said, okay, well, go get him, send him in. I'll have a talk with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, you need to be respectful of your mother. Do you realize how you impact other people when you behave like this? You know, that sort of thing. And the child always apologized. Now, the reason I say that is because another show popped into my head right at that moment, and it was Full House.
Okay.
If some of you remember that TV show.
From the 1980s-ish?
In 90s-ish,
yeah.
And the oldest daughter, she would disobey her dad, and then he would confront her, and then she would explain all of her logical reasons for disobeying him, and he would apologize to her. Okay, so that was also a cultural shift, and I don't know, that just popped into my head, that in Leave It to Beaver, the children always listened to and respected what the parents were saying. And yes, he gave space for, okay, so here's what was really happening. And I know sometimes with the older son, he would say, okay, I didn't know that. Let's talk it through. Let's figure out, you know, good ways to handle it. What if it happened again? You know, how would you handle yourself? Or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was just this mischievous misbehavior, the child had to acknowledge and take responsibility for it.
Right. That part was not okay.
Right.
And it needed to be apologized for.
Right. And if they sassed their mother, that was not going to fly.
Right.
And they could not sass their dad or disrespect that he was working hard and providing for the household either.
Otherwise, there would be
consequences that they did not like from both parents.
Yes.
You see, the mother supported what the dad's rules were, and the dad supported what the mom needed emotionally and physically to manage and maintain the household and be respected
yes.
by her children. So that reminds me of Proverbs 31. A lot of people want to talk about the Proverbs 31 woman.
Right.
And they totally miss that there's a Proverbs 31 man.
What?
Well, I know. And the men don't want to acknowledge it either because they might have some accountability to it. But when we look at Ward Cleaver, that's what we're seeing, is him operating out of that Proverbs 31 man. When you go to verse 1, Catherine, it right there talks about this is an oracle his mother wrote to him. My son, it's for the man.
Right.
She is teaching him how to be a man. In the sense of caring for his household.
Right. Right. I think we most of the time miss that because it, later in the chapter it talks about the wife of, you know, noble character, starting in verse 10. And so we think that it was written towards the woman, but until I think you taught me, Dr. Pauline, I think I thought it was written towards the woman.
Right.
But, and so it was really eye-opening to realize, oh, this is, you know, it starts with the man, the head of the household, and how he first treats his wife.
Yes.
And then her
right.
response.
So, you know, when we look at chapter 10, where you were talking about some verses call it a noble woman.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm. Or a capable wife. Basically what is happening there is his mother is saying, you need to start to be a good husband by picking a quality woman to be your wife. Not just who turns you on, not just, you know, somebody who will have sex with you and then you move on from there and then you try to have a relationship. So a woman of noble character is a woman who knows God.
Right. That's probably first and foremost.
Right.
And then there's other characteristics that follow that.
Right. And so, again, when we come back to Leave It to Beaver, which we're going to get to Raven here pretty soon, but when we come back to Leave It to Beaver, we see a biblical pattern.
Right. We're talking about a television show, and we know that television is not real life. But we also know that television and media reflects
our
culture.
Absolutely.
And what's going on. So, you know, in the 50s, it was, you know, I didn't live in the 50s, but,
neither
you know.
Neither did I, Sharon.
But it must have been that Leave It to Beaver as a show reflected what was happening in the culture. There was a mutual respect between, husbands and wives.
And in general, our culture reflected basic quality biblical principles and morality.
Yeah.
Whether people went to church or not, the Ten Commandments were still hanging up on the walls of the schools.
Yes.
Good behavior, good conduct, and being kind to one another. And parents were passing down to their kids these qualities of marriage that we're kind of talking about here. And it required the man to also to do his part. So he had to pick a wife of noble character. And, of course, biblically, that is a woman who knows God.
Right.
A woman who wants to live for God. In our day and age, it would be a woman who wants to live for Christ, which we'll get to the structure for that under that. But then, because he already picked a quality woman, his heart, the heart of the husband, trusts in her. So before we see anything else, he trusts in her. And we see that reflected in the Leave It to Beaver characters. He is trusting her to manage and run the household while he is at work and to keep his children safe and clean and to educate them, you know, and to guide them and direct them and to let him know when he needs to be a part of that. And he was home every night at the same time, had dinner with them, and was inputting to his family for the evening.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was showing that. And then because he did that, picked a quality woman, and then he showed her his heart.
In verse 11 is where you're...
Yes. And the second part is, he will have no lack of gain. So that means he will have no lack of gain because his wife desires and is cared for in a way that she wants to put it all out there for him, too. If you pick that quality woman who doesn't mind the housewife role, you're going to get a household manager.
Right.
And you have to show trust and confidence in her, too.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we were, while we were preparing, we were talking about the difference in the actual verbiage that we use for different roles.
Right.
And like you were just saying, there's a role called a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a role that is called the stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And you might think, well, isn't that kind of the same thing? But
they're not.
No.
They're totally not.
Right. Even just in, you know, are you focusing on running the house as a wife, housewife?
Your job, your career.
Right? Or are you just staying home as a mom? And you're just focused on being a mom.
And
I'm not saying it's bad to focus on your kids once in a while, but, you know, is that your only focus?
Right. And so ultimately what ends up happening is children end up driving the household.
Yeah.
Not the parents. So then this mom is so wrung out being a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom and trying to provide all these quality experiences for her children to justify why she's at home, really. Her husband ends up getting lost in that.
And he lacks in
gain,
yeah.
And then he doesn't feel the honor and respect, and he doesn't give the honor and respect. And now we've got two people angry with each other for not fulfilling each other, which is what we talk about with heart-connected marriage counseling here at Dunamis Center. But it's that they don't realize that neither one of them is doing the right thing or the right role.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a woman stays at home now, the only job the husband has is to make enough money to make sure she can do that. So that she can focus on the kids.
Yeah.
Help with dishes. So now he's got to do more and more and more because, you know, her focus is the kids, not the household.
Right.
So he's...
It's different.
Yeah.
There's a difference there.
Right. And the household managers in the 50s and 60s could say to their husbands, we don't leave our slippers there. And the husband would go, oops, you know, because the rest of the house is clean.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or they just quietly picked him up and didn't care. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a big issue of respect or disrespect. It was just, either I tell him or I don't, and it doesn't matter. He's not really trying to disrespect me because he's not doing it. But you know what else these dads did once they picked a noble wife and they showed her their heart?
Look, go ahead.
Verse 20 is, her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too. And some verses say, blessed, that he calls her blessed and he trains his children to respect and bless her as well. So it depends on the version. So he's praising her, he's honoring her, and he's teaching the children to do so as well.
Right.
So it's not just that he's doing it. He is saying, you will respect your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You will treat my wife with honor, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I picked a wife of noble character, of, mm-hmm. you know, of honor. So treat her that way.
And then you get so much more. You know, I remember when I was a housewife, and I never used the term stay-at-home mom. It wasn't as popular back then as it is now.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the fact that I was supposed to be a housewife. I'm not saying I was good at it. It was not. I'm not good at that career. But it was at least something that I understood in the context of, these children are not running my life. I'm supposed to be managing the household and their lives.
Right.
Now, I wanted to be there, and I wanted to have play times and park times and friend times and, you know.
But it was on your time, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was on your schedule? It was on my schedule, my terms. Also, I realized because I had a feminist mother and a feminist older sister when I got married.
Okay.
Who told me, never depend on a man and don't let him tell you what to do.
Okay.
Then I became a born-again Christian after I was married. So then I had to process what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and that was probably a huge paradigm shift for you.
It was crazy.
To go from one extreme of thinking, probably.
Right.
To the other.
Right. And because I came out of the 60s, where the focus is, you'll grow up, you'll be a housewife, you don't have to be stupid. You know, I was still educated and intelligent and all of that. You don't check your brains at the door just because you get married and have kids and want to stay home and care for them. You actually put that into your children.
Yeah.
And into your husband. But at the same time, I had that pull from being a teenager in the 70s of this whole change and this shift and this feminism. And, you know, so actually internally, I had a bent towards the housewife when I was married and had kids. But then I had this whole overlaying of this feminist thought of, you're so intelligent and that's a waste. And, you know, and trying to find that balance of it not being at all wasteful.
Right.
And disrespect your man because they don't deserve respect.
Right. Well, and you didn't let it go to waste. Mm-hmm. You have told me in the past that you know, while your kids were growing up, is when you started your PhD work, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it was huge. But you know what, Catherine? It wasn't until my youngest was 13. So I already had kids graduating and things like that. Because the Lord was very clear with me that I was to stay focused on my family
and the household
and making sure I was there for my kids. And, you know, I had a bachelor's degree, so I could substitute teach, which was during the hours my kids were in school,
mm-hmm.
at that point. And it was just, you know, a little extra income for fun. But I sacrificed a lot of things when the kids were little just to focus, to try to build this. And
yeah.
I remember one time really walking through Proverbs 31 with my husband.
Yeah.
Because this was what I was driving at. I could have gotten up that day and had a total plan for, I'm going to do the dishes, I'm going to get the laundry done, the bathroom's going to get clean, and I'd have this list. And really, yes, I could do it all within the context of my 8-hour day, even with kids around. But if my husband spoke disrespectfully to me in the morning before he left the house, none of it would get done. So in other words, if he was like, well, I hope you plan on doing that laundry today, I'd be like, well, no, not going to happen now. But if he would have said something, which is this honoring your wife we were just talking about, along the lines of, I really believe in you to have a good day and to accomplish everything you set your mind to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. We would have had laundry done, dishes done, bathroom done. We would have had the kitchen floor scrubbed. We would have had more.
Right.
So I sat down and showed that all to him, and he was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, when you're critical and you put people down, you don't get as much out of them.
Right, right. And so, men that are listening, take that to, you know, notice that and mm-hmm. and really notice what you're speaking to your wife.
Right, and realize that if you're working and your wife is not working, it's not your money and she's not doing nothing.
Right.
Now, as a housewife, I also respected that my job, husband's job, was my job as well. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
Well, he worked for corporate America. He had a corporate job.
Right.
And people don't really understand that in those types of companies, however the spouse is, they're going to reflect on you as an employee.
Right. True.
So we, you know, I always respected him and supported him to do well. And, you know, if we had to go to parties or whatever, I wanted to present that well. I want to present him well.
Yeah.
So why
do
you want to present your husband well as well?
Right.
And fortunately, as we've moved through, and that was just my struggle in the transitional phases, and I'm so glad I re-grabbed some of the housewife aspects. I wish I had done more, to be honest. But what I've watched is the generation behind me has actually done less as women in that regard, but they're working more outside of the home.
It's true. It's true. There's a lot of working moms, a lot of working single moms.
Yeah. And there's been this, women thought they were liberating themselves, and instead what they did was they just gave men permission to not take care of them.
Right. They liberated themselves right into working all the time.
Right. And then television started shifting.
Right.
As men were like, great, I got freedom to do whatever I want. So what I want is to not have to take care of you and the kids. So bye.
Right.
Okay. So now the moms are angry and now they're critical of the dads. But even within the context of TV shows where you have a married family with kids or even a stay-at-home mom now, that disrespect towards men just oozes out of it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So, you know, as we mentioned at the beginning, we were talking about how our culture shifted from Leave It to Beaver to Everybody Loves Raymond. And
right.
So, you watch the show. Now, that is a contemporary show for me, which I have seen, and I don't really care for it personally.
Right. Because all the wife does is criticize him, put him down, and treat him like he's stupid. So then that's how the husbands act.
So then,
helpless, can't do anything right, because a lot of wives are constantly treating their husbands that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the examples we had.
And actually, that show started
in
September 1996 and ran till May of 2005.
Oh. And we are really seeing some fallout from that generation of men and women. So now I might be on, say, a Facebook page for Christian wives. And do you know how many of them are complaining that they can't get their husbands to do anything?
Mm.
And I always ask them, would you let him? If you stopped doing his job for him, what would happen? Well, they get terrified.
Well, stop what you're doing and then give him the respect that's due to him as a man in Christ to do what he was created to do and be the man that God created him to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had to learn to do that with my husband. I realized one day that he didn't really have to do his job as far as head of the household and decision making and all of that, because I was just really good at doing it for him, you know. And we are, you know, a lot of years beyond that, because we've been married 33 years.
But my youngest child is now
26. And so I remember one day realizing, well, there really is no reason for him to do his job because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, spiritual head of the house or decision maker and things like that. Catherine, I had to really have a conversation with myself about what would it look like if I stopped doing that. And initially it was going to look really messy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be real honest.
And so was it really messy?
Yeah. There was, you know, it was really messy, but I had to ask myself seriously, did my husband want the best for his family or did he not?
Yeah.
What did I believe about his intent?
Mm-hmm.
And I believed he really did have the intent to want to do best for his family.
What sort of time frame was that, would you say? Like,
to make the shift?
6 months, a year? longer?
It's a, you know, I mean, we constantly have a lifetime of, of refining, but it gets easier the more we do it. So what I mean by it gets really messy is we can go back to Everybody Loves Raymond. Every time she left the house to do something, it fell apart, didn't it? So he pretty much proved her right.
Yeah.
But if we don't let the falling apart messiness happen without having a ballistic reaction to it, they're just going to be like, well, I can't do it. I'm helpless or whatever.
Yeah.
So I did actually start telling my husband, this is a decision you're going to have to make. I said to him one day, I want you to understand something I've realized. I'm really glad I'm the woman because I'm going to stand before God and he is not going to ask me how I manage the house. He's going to ask you how you manage your home.
Mm.
So what can I do to support you to do that?
And I'm wondering, at first, he probably didn't have a clue.
He had no clue.
Yeah.
Now, he made some decisions I wouldn't have necessarily done. And he's made some that were amazingly good in the long run that I would not have let him make.
Oh.
You know, that had just like amazing outcome for our family.
Interesting.
That initially I was thinking more short term, and he actually saw the bigger picture long term.
Oh, that's cool.
And I will honestly tell you, I had to go in my room sometimes and scream in my pillow so I could just like, I am not going to say anything about this. Okay.
I'm so frustrated, but I'm not going
to yell. I'm not going to yell at him. I'm not going to try to get my own way.
Right.
You know. And so, you know, when we talk about living a dunamis life and living it for the fullness of Christ, part of that is trying to figure out, how do we hit this biblical order? How do we do Proverbs? How do we do Ephesians 5, which everyone hears about, and honoring and respecting our husbands?
Right. Husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husbands.
Mm-hmm. Unto Christ. And that was the kicker.
Yeah.
It wasn't for him that I did this, to be honest. This was not for my husband's sake. It was for the sake of Christ.
Yes.
Because our marriages are supposed to be reflecting God and the church. In our culture, we're supposed to have that impact. And if I don't back up and say, I'm going to respect him unto Christ, that doesn't mean I have to submit to sin or sinful decision making.
Right.
But it did mean that if I knew that he sincerely has a heart to love his family the best that he knows how, and just because I don't agree with it, mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just different than when I would do it.
Right.
And over the course of years, like I said, I have learned how very much he really does want good outcomes for his family. And so when he has made a mistake or gotten it wrong, I can tell that he doesn't like that. He doesn't need me pointing my finger in his face.
Right. You don't need to berate him.
He does not need that.
Continue to show him respect, right?
Yeah, and to say, well, you got that one wrong. We'll just learn from it, and we'll do better next time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the outcome is that in my old, you know, post-children empty nest phase, he cares really well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he provides still for our children and grandchildren very well. I mean, he loves me, you know, as Christ loves the church. And once I learn that and let go of things, it's amazing to just see the, you know, gentleness that can come out of a relationship.
Oh, that's sweet.
And that is like, really, if I were doing parenting today, I'd go back to Leave It to Beaver now, because I really understand the value of the housewife,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of caring for your home.
Right, and the mutual respect they had for each of their roles.
Right.
And each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we would add in Christ.
And I wouldn't walk around saying I'm a stay-at-home mom. Be proud. Be loud. Be proud. You know, we're housewives, and that's a career, and that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at those two things, Everybody Loves Raymond is all about disrespecting your husband.
Yeah.
And each other.
Yeah.
And treating him like he's an idiot. And Leave It to Beaver was about mutual respect, honor, and care.
Yeah.
Really.
There
and
was
that's
a difference.
Biblical, and there was a difference.
Yep.
So. Well, I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we're going to talk a little bit in a little different way next week about the roles of husband.